This recording, Arkansas 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive.
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long round arch, with its path high above and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold at one end. People look, but no one ever finds it. When a man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he is looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Throughout the centuries, people have explained the rainbow in various ways. Some have accepted it as a miracle without physical explanation. To the Hebrews, it was a token that there would be no more universal floods. The Greeks used to imagine that it was a sign from the gods to foretell war or heavy rain. The Norsemen considered the rainbow as a bridge over which the gods passed from earth to their home in the sky. Others have tried to explain the phenomenon physically. Aristotle thought that the rainbow was caused by reflection of the sun's rays by the rain. Since the physicists have found that it is not reflection, but refraction by the raindrops which causes the rainbows. Many complicated ideas about the rainbow have been formed. The difference in the rainbow depends considerably upon the size of the drops, and the width of the colored band increases as the size of the drops increases. The actual primary rainbow observed is said to be the effect of superimposition of a number of bows. If the red of the second bow falls upon the green of the first, the result is to give a bow with an abnormally wide yellow band, since red and green light when mixed form yellow. This is a very common type of bow, one showing mainly red and yellow, with little or no green or blue.
Let's see. I come from a family of four, and I have a younger sister. She was born in 1978. So she was born in April, and I'm roughly 3.5 years older than she is. But originally, when I was born, we didn't live in Alma itself. We lived in a town called Dyer, which is outside of Alma. It's off in the country, and it was much smaller, but we still went to Alma schools because it's not a very large town. I remember when I was younger, we had two horses, and one of them was named Sunny, and I cannot remember what the other one was named, but we kept horses, those two horses, for a few years when I was young, and I guess we got rid of the horses probably somewhere around the time my sister was born. But we lived a fairly good ways outside of Alma, probably about 10 minutes. My dad, my father, his name's Wes. He was born and raised in a town called Danville, which was a very, very small, Danville, Arkansas, a very, very small community. And my mother was raised in a town 10 minutes outside of Danville called Havana, which was even smaller. I think the most they had at Havana, what my grandmother tells me, was about a train station and a little grocery store. But they grew up, I guess, about 10 miles away from each other. I believe they got married in probably around 1965. Well, no, probably 68 or 69. That's probably more like it. But they were from, not from the city, I'll say that much. My mother was an only child. My grandmother, she immigrated to this country from Ireland when she was probably about 15, around that age somewhere. And her father, my grandfather, was a Major League Baseball pitcher back in the 30s. And he pitched for the St. Louis Browns, and the Detroit Tigers, and the Toronto Blue Jays, and also for a minor league team in Texas.